Yo, listen, it's Platinum Max, part of the Acclaim, the Platinum Playboy, best wrestler alive, and you are rocking with the Bob Culture Podcast. Yo, listen, Platinum on the mic, and I'm coming for your ass. I'm listening to the Bob Culture Podcast, and I think it's the hottest show in the game, because them and everybody loves the Acclaim. Now, scissor me.
Juke it. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome into a very special AEW Full Gear Predictions panel episode of the BCP. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you to our sponsors for sponsoring the show. We're going to run the ads after the show because we want to get right into this one off the tail of Dynamite. Solid episode here tonight, but we got to talk about Full Gear coming up this weekend. And you know, I got to assemble my All Elite panel. Please welcome back to the show. You know him as Lay, editor-in-chief of thepopbreak.com, the Papa Bear, the BCP, the very handsome, our good friend, BCP OG, Mr. Bill Bodkin. What's up, man? How are you, bro?
Well, yes, you bring me on into not hostile territory. I will not be appearing on the Survivor Series panel, I'm sure, because Rob knows I won't keep it positive, but I keep it real. Fair enough. That's why I'm here, because I am All Elite. I'm really tired, too, so this is going to be a good one, man.
Me too, man. And you're rocking the fall. I like the attire, by the way. Rocking the fall.
I'm very autumnal today. Very autumnal.
I like it, man. Looking handsome as ever, man. And speaking of handsome, please welcome back to the show. And also, great attire. Get those BCP shirts. They're available now. Shameless Promo, please welcome back. You know him as the leader of Key Nation. And now, I would say an A-plus player back here at the BCP. Congrats on the new job over at Home Depot. Our good friend, Mr. Wayne Keener. What's up, bro? How are you?
Thank you so much. Yeah, man, Home Depot has been fun just trying to learn the ropes. I've been playing with the store cat, which I think is crazy. I had no idea that every Home Depot had a store cat, and every Home Depot cat has its own TikTok page. It's like a huge community. It's like the darndest thing I've ever seen. But no, it's always a pleasure to be here, talk some wrestling, and just glad I got the call. So it should be a fun night.
Appreciate it, man. I had a feline you were going to talk about that cat. And guys, please welcome back to the show. You know her. Let's see. From Kimmy Talks Wrestling, thepopbreak.com, the BCP. Bill's going to leave my commentary partner as well. The list goes on. Maria Kanellis' personal protege, Miss Kimmy. Kimmy, so cool. Kimmy, welcome back. How are you?
I'm so happy you actually included I'm your commentary partner. You tend to forget that all the time, and it makes me very sad. But yes, I'm here. Recovering from big event, getting ready for WrestleCade, because I won't be on the Survivor Series prediction podcast either, because I'll be in North Carolina.
Yeah, shout out to everyone going to WrestleCade. That and from what you said, Kimmy, is like one of the greatest and biggest conventions. So definitely got to get down there sometime. But there's a lot of great things going on, a lot of cool signings. So shout out all the promoters, everyone bringing talent down there. There's gonna be some GCW. There's gonna be some good shows. I think Jeff Hardy's putting on a concert. Extreme Life of Matt Hardy. Shout out John Alba. They're doing a live taping down there, a recording. Should be great. But what do you think, guys? Should we get into this card? We got a lot to cover here.
I hope so. That's why we're here, Rob.
I feel like we should kick it off with the big news that young Tony Khan, who's the same age as me, dropped pre-Dynamite. And if people don't know what we're talking about, I felt like Rob was going to jump in, but screw it. I'll host the podcast right now. He said one of the best wrestlers in the world, someone respected by AEW fans across the country and across the world, will sign a contract dead center in the ring. We're putting it out there. She's officially has a customized AEW hat she's gonna wear backwards. They're gonna sign their contract in the ring at the Kia Forum, and buddy, the internet, as it does when Tony Khan has an announcement, is a buzzing. So guys, gals, and our non-binary pals in the chat, let's talk about who this could be. And I swear, if you say Bill Bodkin, I will find you and I'm gonna give you a hug, because that's really nice. So Rob, you're always on the cusp of everything. Who's getting signed? And you're like, it's my girlfriend. Who do you think is this person? Give me your thoughts.
What's bigger than that, man? But I think if Bill Bodkin got signed, I would pop for that, man. Let's go get some good storylines going. I'm here for it.
I would quit my job. live on the Kia forum and tell them to suck it.
Yes.
I would. I don't care. Hey, listen, I negotiated an extra 5 days of vacation time for the entire company. So you're welcome. Goodbye.
My dude.
So yeah, Rob, in all seriousness, who are some names popping in that less than mustachioed phase of yours? Of course, I'm going to bring up the fact you should connect the wraparound beard, but it's another story for another day. If you know, you know. What do you got?
I'm gonna go. I think my gut's telling me just 'cause a lot of the news and you talk about the hottest free agents out there and stuff like that. Someone who's been not synonymous with AEW, but I'd say a large part of AEW, frequent match of the years. I think you guys know where I'm going on this. I see Wayne nodding. I think it's got to be, and there's rumors like it's going to be Mercedes and stuff like that, which would be really, really cool. But just the way it was worded, stuff like that, one of the best wrestlers,
I'm going to say
every.
this. There's a chase, and I want you to cut to it.
Oh, shit.
So give me your answer, Rob.
Well, I was going to say Ospreay.
That's what I mean, because
Okay.
because you're building up, and I'm like, just tell the people, just tell them. All right,
I think it's Ospreay.
okay. So you think it's Ospreay? If it's not Ospreay, you get an alternate pick. Who is it?
Bill Botkin.
Fuck yeah, that's the correct answer, everybody.
I
Big Wayne Ravens. Let's not talk about that Sunday game, brother.
let's not let's talk about the game potentially tomorrow. But no, it is what it is. I know there's some I don't know how contracts work, as far as no competes and stuff. I feel like, you can't perform on contract, but I feel like it's potentially Dolph Ziggler.
There is a lot of strong rumor and innuendo about his contractual status that, well, if he does show up, well, we'll find out that he didn't have a 90 day. So,
Right.
okay, if it's not the leader of the Ziggler Nation, who do you got? What's your alternate pick?
My alternate pick. I mean, the thing is, I would love it to be like somebody I see in the chat. I'd love it to be somebody like Sami Callihan because I feel like he, but I don't feel like that would be the buzz. You know what I mean?
No.
God help us. Let's just pray it's not Riddle. I think that ship hopefully has sailed in
Yeah, I think he
but,
has shifted
I
industries
mean, hell,
to
he's doing James Ellsworth's show in February in Maryland, so yeah, so the bromance event, so that ought to be something. But yeah, I don't know. I really obviously Ospreay is my first choice. Then I was thinking it could be somebody like Ziggler. You obviously have the Monet, Mercedes out there, but I don't know. I just think it's either going to be Ospreay or Ziggler officially, is my two thoughts.
Well, the insider of all insiders recently quoted and so cited by Sean Ross Sapp of Fightful.com. That's Kimmy Sokol, who will be on the Tony Khan media call, which is going to be late as hell on Thursday, because remember, they're in California. So, Kimmy, give me, okay, because I know you thrive on the negative. Who do you not want it to be?
Will Ospreay.
Who you hate, so you want Will Ospreay to go to WWE.
Yep. So then Rollins can finally beat him, so I don't have to hear this anymore. You have to think of the long-term goals, Bill.
Your goals. So now that you said who you don't want it to be, who do you think it will be?
Dolph Ziggler or another superstar that we don't know got released of their 90 day.
Okay. All right. So, as always, I don't follow any rules, not even the ones I set forth. So here's who I'm thinking. We have the two cool ones. One, I've seen a lot of people on Twitter put out it's Mercedes, including those who are pretty well connected. Then you have Andrew Zarian of the Mat Men podcast post a picture of an Osprey. So Mercedes Moné and Will Ospreay are the cool picks. The Tony, we love you, man, but this was not the pick to me is Shibata. Shibata is something people have brought up. He loves Shibata. He's well respected. But I could tell you if Shibata is the guy, he's going to sign in the middle of the ring, that is going to be an absolute dud, and people are going to turn on that very, very quickly. And I also don't think the Dolph Ziggler signing would be the huge reaction that we're going to get. And Wayne, that's not a, I'm not crapping on your pick. I'm just saying that I think the reaction where people are looking at Mercedes or Ospreay, and there is one other person who it could potentially be, or who we could potentially see in AEW, and that's Ronda Rousey. Don't be surprised.
No.
Yes, Kimmy, I have put that negative vibe out into the ether. And when it comes to negativity, no one thrives on it more than me. So, Rob, I'm going to hand you the keys to your car back. So, yeah, I hope I did you okay, pal.
No, it was great and really good stuff in the chat. People saying Ospreay is not going to WWE. It could be Nick Nemeth, obviously Ziggler, or Shelton Benjamin. A lot of people saying Ospreay, Sami Callihan, Joe Bellini in the chat saying fire Kimmy. People saying, what if it's Okada? Miguel saying, what's up, BCP crew? So
if it's, I mean, Okada would be a coup because New Japan, I don't know who they have then.
Yeah, it's really interesting.
They have David Finlay.
Oh, yeah, he's, that's a choice, all right.
And guys, keep, you know, the guests is coming in the chat because we're going to get to our first match and we're going to talk about the pre-show. You know, in our group chat, we were discussing like who our wrestler of the year is going to be. You know, we still got to get through the rest of November and December. I'm making a strong case for MJF. There's a strong case I can make for, yes, Seth Rollins as well. The list goes on and on. But I think a point towards MJF is the fact that he is defending the ROH Tag Team Championship by himself oftentimes. And in this match, I think it's going to be a TBD, you know, vacant, the most decorated performer in all professional wrestling, with MJF taking on the Guns, Austin Colton Gunn, in the pre-show for those ROH Tag Team Championships. It's got to be Samoa Joe, right? And I think I'm just going to keep it short and sweet here. I see them retaining here, although big proponents of the Guns as of late, they've really won me over. I think it would be cool to see them win these titles here. Obviously, former AEW tag team champions. But I'll just say this. I think MJF and seeing just Samoa Joe just kind of coming out maybe unannounced or without MJF's like formal invitation. He's just kind of been watching over him. And it's another one of those things where there are a lot of moving parts here, but I don't hate it. I like that everyone's kind of gunning for the champion, no pun intended. It makes a super lot of sense. You know, he's the top guy. Samoa Joe and MJF, it ended perfectly. You know, it was like the Brock Cody thing where there's the handshake. Could have been done there, but I don't hate it. Everything Samoa Joe is doing right now is gold. We saw the John Cruz meme, and, you know, Bill sent it to us, and as soon as he sent it, it was taken off. Like, make the memes, have fun with that. I want to see what you guys do with that. But I think MJF, in some form or fashion, retains the belts here. I'll throw it to Kimmy.
I don't care who wins. Whoever wins, just bring the titles back to Thursday. Is it so hard? I don't care. Bill, I'm sorry. I want to also say, Bill, here's my Ring of Honor rants every day, all day.
Yeah.
And he loves them. No. Clearly. So anyway, I don't care who wins. I just need those champions on Thursdays because you're taking away my six-man titles because, you know, they just had to go to Japan for this freaking tag team classic thing. But yeah, MJF and TBD are going to win. And don't worry, these tag titles will not be defended on Final Battle because Ring of Honor hates me and wants to kill me.
Yikes. Wayne, what do you got?
I don't even know how to follow that. Yeah. I mean, I think if you look at what it's leading up to, you know, I think you're absolutely right, Rob. I think it's got to be Joe. Now, whether it's like a surprise thing day of, remember, we still got 3 hours to get through on Friday with a collision and Rampage. You know what I mean? So anything can, you know, that's the go-home show. So anything could transpire there to make it official. But I do believe that no matter what, I believe it will be Samoa Joe. But even if it isn't and MJF goes alone, somehow he finds a way the belts stay around MJF's waist.
Okay. Bill, take us home on this one.
Oh, follow me down the primrose path as I weave a tale for you. Because what's going to happen is, yes, Samoa Joe will be his partner. And that's because Adam Cole is going to convince either Samoa Joe or MJF they have to go down there. So what's going to happen is Like Adam Cole will like, and it might, we might not even be revealed that night, but it will be that Adam Cole was like, Joe, just go down there, help him out. He'll give you a title shot, or he convinces Max to do it. Adam Cole will be the impetus of Joe and MJF. And maybe it's a very devilish thing of Adam Cole to do. So we'll see. But, but yeah, I think guns down in this one, because it's going to be MJF. And, yeah, when I'm making those puns, man, you know the gas tank is empty. So, yeah, it's going to be MJF and Samoa Joe winning.
Pop me on that one. Should we get into the whole, like, who is the devil thing right now? Do you guys want to get into it, or should we?
Who's to say?
Who's to
you
say?
You know who it's not? It's not Dr. Brubaker DMD.
It's because LaGreca put that to bed, man. He was 10 steps ahead, so they had to shuffle the cards, man. That's just how it be.
Okay, remind me. 15
steps ahead of that, but whatever.
Remind me, how do we know she's not the devil? Just because I can't remember.
Sean Ross said it this afternoon on a Q&A that it was not Britt nor CM Punk.
Yeah.
Boom.
Yeah, and it's interesting that we're talking about it. When they started doing this whole thing, I'm like, here we go. Like, you know, who shot Mr. Burns? Like, what are we doing here? It's been an interesting conversation. You know, when LaGreca did say Britt, I'm sitting here, you know, banging my head against it. Like, why didn't I think of that? It's perfect. It's great. It makes sense in a lot of ways. It's connect the dots. It's fun. It's intriguing. It brings me into it a lot more than I already was. And like we always say, like at the end of the day, we know plans change day of. We know plans change hours before. There's a lot of moving parts in AEW. There's a lot of injuries going around right now. So it is whoever it's going to be at the end of the day, you know, minutes before. Who knows, you know, but it's fun to speculate. You know, there are people who said some of the guys had like the neck brace and stuff like that in the attacks. Maybe it's the draft for all I know. Who knows what's going on, but it's fun to speculate. Maybe it's MJF himself.
It's not MJF himself, because literally the Acclaim gets jumped, like supposedly live, and
right,
he
exactly.
runs back, you know.
Yeah, and that's a great point. And I think the story of MJF, like, you know, because we know MJF, which is the real MJF, and he's just become so endearing, and he has that crowd in the palm of his hand any way he goes. I think to get that, like, aha, I got you all along kind of moment, which could happen at any point. I just don't think you do it here. I think the more interesting story is, like, hey, I let myself be vulnerable. I'm going to, for once in my life, let people come into my life and be trusted. Even that promo tonight about how, like, my past is costing other people. I want him almost to, like, let himself get close to people and then kind of feel that betrayal and hurt, you know, especially from the likes of an Adam Cole and his crew, whatever's going on with that, man. I think that's the more interesting story, and that letdown, that hurt, the ultimate demise of MJF and Adam Cole. Because at the end of the day, even going into this JY MJF thing, Adam Cole and MJF, like, what dance partners, man. As teammates standing across the ring, both of those matches were great. They were fantastic. Even the tag team matches they do. I mean, some guys, you know, they just get in a ring together and they're great dance partners, and I'm here for it, man. So I'm interested in this. Wayne, do you have any theories on who the devil could be?
You know, honestly, I think initially we had to talk, I think, on the last pick show, and because it was fresh and it just happened and we were all kind of all over the place, I think it's Adam Cole. I think it's, you know, I think that's the big build up, especially if Samoa Joe does help MJF defend the belt, by proxy, does he then officially become one half of the ROH tag team champions? Like, even though it's Adam Cole's belt, like, would Joe then be able to stake claim to it? So then if it is Adam Cole, then you don't even have the issue of having to separate the teammates that have championship gold at the moment, you know? So you got that. I saw some interesting theories online that it's potentially the Pillars, you know, Guevara and Jungle Boy, and possibly even Darby, which I don't put too much stake into, but it was a pretty interesting article on that. Sean Spears was thrown in there. So a lot of interesting theories, but I think if you keep to the storyline and what we're building to, which I believe Adam Cole will be your next AEW champion. And I think you just have to have that betrayal and that, like, you know, that turn moment. And I think this devil thing, the whole hanging up on Roddy when he calls and all that, I think it's like the perfect crime. And it just keeps everybody so inconspicuous when we find out that the devil and the masked men are all, you know, the kingdom, Roddy and Adam Cole. So that's my thought on it.
Very well said. And in the chat, a lot of people say, first of all, his belt and his mask were taken. Who robbed this man? A lot of people saying, could it be Roderick Strong? Kelvin, who Kelvin does our top 10 every week on BCP Plus. Shout out Kelvin. So I trust Kelvin here. He's saying, hey, CM Punk, he still's got some merch going in the shop. He's still a suspect. Sean Ross Sapp can't convince me otherwise. Kimmy, your thoughts?
I think Sean Ross Sapp can convince you otherwise. Just saying. We're friends now. Me and Sean are friends, you know? We've been through a lot. I gave him a heart attack yesterday. That's just me and Sean. So I think that we're forgetting a very important member of an undisputed era. Does anyone remember that? You see, there were four members of that team. One of them
Bobby
killed
Fish.
His career.
It's Bobby Fish. He's the devil. Bobby Fish is the devil. He's the oldest man alive. So obviously.
No, no. You interrupted me. I was going to say that guy killed his career, so it's not him. Oh, it's not the dude that just screams Adam over and over again. Of course, my poor friend has a broken ankle, so that leaves one other person. And since him and Adam are such good friends, wouldn't it make sense that Kyle does all of this work while Adam is at home resting his ankle? Whoa.
Interesting.
That's a devil.
I don't hate it, Kimmy, and Irish Bill has a theory as well. What do you got, man?
Not your best. But I had like a theory about how this could be the inverse of the Pinnacle, how this could be someone with, because I just looked at one of the guys, I'm like, that is a big, broad son of a bitch they got going right there. So I'm just like, could that be Wardlow? Could that be, Cash Wheeler? So I was thinking, what better way to get back at Max than the dudes that hate him? Wardlow has already said, I hate you. I want to ruin your life. I want to do this. What better way for him to help ruin Max's life than be with his supposed best friend? And FTR already hates him too. So I'm just like, okay, that could be an interesting way to do it. It could be a Kingdom Undisputed Era mashup. The one that won't work is Jack Perry. Like, Jungle Boy, like, from a narrative perspective, makes sense because he turned heel. Max is like, said, you have to become me to get this belt. Threw him through glass, you know? And AEW's really good with just fucking with people with stuff like that.
Right.
So, and that's why I see that people are like, oh, maybe it's CM Punk. And listen, apparently the people who are not the devil are locked in as the people who are going to be part of this group. Like, they're locked in. The devil is not known to a lot of people, or if it is, it's not being talked about. So could it be Punk because he couldn't get with WWE? I give that a 10% chance.
Ooh.
But I tell you what, Mike Mueller and I were talking about this. It'd be a hell of a story. It'd be a hell of a thing if it was, man. I know we're all like, fuck that guy, it sucks. But if he was at World's End and he pulls the mask off and it was me, MJF, it was me all along, the place would go absolutely apeshit. Screwing MJF out of the title and stealing his thunder. Or stealing his thunder, much like MJF did to him in Chicago. It would be poetic justice, but it ain't going to happen because I think he's going to WWE. So I think the safe money is Adam Cole.
Yeah, great stuff, guys. In the chat, keeps it coming too. A lot of traction on Kimmy's Kyle O'Reilly theory. A lot of people getting behind Kimmy on that one. Randy from the Front Row Mafia, shout those guys out. Richard Holiday, the devil, maybe. That'd be cool. Love Richard Holiday. Miguel, plot twist, it's Sean Spears. I'm here for that. I don't hate that either. That's a good one, Miguel. I like that a lot, actually. I'd be here for some Sean Spears. Shout out, I think, Kimmy, Sean Spears doing a seminar at
Warriors Wrestling in February. I don't have the exact date. And he'll also be competing the next night, also at Warriors, at that fun station. Just go to Warriors Wrestling. The whole information is there.
Yeah, and I think it's fairly cheap.
As Joe just continues to flood my phone.
Like $50 or something like that?
Yes, that sounds accurate.
Great. Awesome. So check that over at Warriors of Wrestling. Go check out their social media right now. Let's talk about the main card. Let's talk about the AEW Women's Championship match. Hikaru Shida versus Timeless Toni Storm. Kimmy, thank you for sending me the matches, first of all. I think this is going to be actually a really, really good match. I mean, we can't say enough good things about Toni Storm. Let's be real. Crowbar is the true Timeless one, but I digress. The stuff Toni Storm is doing is fantastic. The stuff with Luther, is it Luther? Luther? Now the butler for her, it's brilliant. RJ City adding his, you know, two cents to everything. It's just been amazing. Tony's got to win here. I mean, there's no other way. Wayne, help me out.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree. I mean, you put the belt back on Shida, and that made sense. I really don't think it made sense at the time either. I don't know why that happened. Maybe they just needed a shocking title change for that show. But yeah, I mean, Toni has all the momentum right now. She's got the commercial vignettes. I'm just curious how the new girl, and shame on me, May, I can't think of
her. Mariah
it's May. Mariah May, who will get involved in this match. Don't worry.
Good Lord. I was about to say, yeah, with that whole, like, you know, fangirling kind of thing, like, I feel like she's going to play a part, but the question is, does she play a part to Tony's help or to Tony's detriment, even accidentally? But whatever the case is, how she plays it, I do believe that, you know, right now you got to strike while the iron's hot. Like, I'm upset that, you know, they didn't do a script change at WWE and give LA Knight the belt at Crown Jewel. But I think, like, we have the same kind of momentum going with Timeless Toni Storm. I think she walks out, you know, of her whatever it's called, like the Hollywood debut or her close-up.
Hollywood homecoming.
Yes, man. Look, I knew you would know the answers. I'm just throwing stuff to the wall here. I knew Kimmy would stick it. But, yeah, so I think her Hollywood homecoming is also – her Timeless Championship reign begins. So that's my pick.
A lot of Toni Storms in the chat as well. And good point, Wayne. Is this a Mickey James situation? You know, we saw how Mickey James came into WWE with Trish and all that. Kimmy, I see you have strong opinions on this one. What do you got?
Because Bill's going to take my theory, so I want to say it before he does. I think he's going to take my theory.
I don't know.
I'm just
flying by the suit of my pants, man.
So every talented actress needs a stunt double, right, Rob?
Ooh, I don't hate that.
So here's the good thing. They're both blonde. Isn't that, like, crazy?
And Australian.
And, yeah, so many characteristics that are alike. So what will happen is Toni and Mariah will do a little switcheroo thing, and then she'll help Toni win the belt, as the Hollywood homecoming will have the perfect ending as Toni Storm becomes your new AEW Women's Champion.
Twin magic. Actually.
I was going to say, lack of a better term, twin magic, yeah. Or the Damian Sandow.
Damian Mizdow, yeah.
Yes, right. Mizdow, that's right. Good stuff.
Every time Mizdow hit, he would bump. That was hilarious.
Good stuff. Kimmy, knocking it out of the park. This is why you guys are here. Bill, what do you got on this one, man?
So this is what they're going to do is, if you've ever seen the movie All About Eve, this is where it's going. And so it's about two very similar Hollywood stars or stars clashing and eventually working together, then eventually having this horrible falling apart. And I think Kimmy's right. I think Mariah May, whether it's unbeknownst or beknownst to Toni Storm, will help her win. And then it'll be this whole thing where, yes, it'll have elements of the Mickey James thing in there. And then I think this is going to build for a long time. And eventually we have the fallout between Mariah and Toni. And I think that'll be the money, because what we need to do is we need to build Mariah up in a big way and make her feel important, because one thing AEW needs in the women's division is to make newer competitors feel important, because they have a short, as I've said a million times, it's a very short bench. So you have to get that new blood in there, and you have to get them people engaged with them. Why Shida won the belt? I feel like someone said, "This ain't going to work for me, brother," after they won the title. So I think that's why Shida got the belt. And that other person doesn't seem to be around as much. So
he's on Collision this week, actually.
Good for her.
Yeah. She's tagging with Ruby, right?
So
my new friend, Ruby Soho.
Yeah. Hershey's. Yeah, I agree with Kimmy. I agree with Kimmy. I think she's right. And then we're going to go on a long, long, twisted storyline. And I'm here for that. Like, we need it. We need some stability here. And if Mercedes is the signing, you don't need to have her win that belt right away. You want to build to that. Maybe even have Mariah Coster the title accidentally, you know, classic wrestling stuff. So, and then eventually we have the Mariah Tony blow off. So I think that's how we're going to go with that.
Great stuff, guys. The chat's blowing up. Loving Kimmy's theory, what you guys are saying. I'm here for it. Her and May would be money together. She Mariah may not. Let's go on to Sting.
Hey, Rob, just real quick. I don't mean to be, we had to talk about the whole Mickie James, Trish kind of storyline. Some new news that just hit while Dynamite was happening. Did you see that Mickie James is no longer officially part of the Impact roster? TNA roster. They parted on great neutral terms with the opportunity to work together in the future. So we think she's joining her husband on SmackDown.
Gotta be.
So she technically didn't depart because she wasn't signed to a full-time deal with Impact. It was she was a free agent anyway.
It's the Cody Rhodes handshake deal.
There. Yeah. So she didn't depart.
Okay.
She's still... I think actually she's still scheduled to appear at TNA, Bill's favorite topic of all time. TNA, Hard to Kill. Boom.
I don't think Mickie James is the big signing for, and no disrespect to her.
Oh,
Mickie
no,
James,
it's
fantastic.
Not.
I said they should have signed her like during the pandemic when she was a free agent after she got the trash bag from WWE, which let's forget. WWE fired her and put her shit in a trash bag. Oh, so yeah, let's clamor to go back to that place.
Yeah, but she still did the Rumble for him. You know what I mean? And she got
because that was that great opportunity for Impact.
Like the Knockouts title at the Rumble, so that was pretty wild.
It did a lot for Impact.
Yeah, really unheard of in the world.
Well, I mean, it's kind of like the non-mutually aligned relationship they had with AEW when Omega was the Impact champion, and like that did nothing for Impact.
Incorrect. Actually, it led to their highest TV ratings and pay-per-view buys. Oh, so it did. It did help them with the WWE thing.
Oh man. Right. But I don't. Again, obviously, I think you guys said it. Wayne said it. Definitely WWE bound, and that's awesome. That's really cool to see. She gets to work with her hubby. Be on the road with him. That's very cool, and it'd be great to see Mickey back in some form or fashion in the WWE. Let's talk about Sting, Darby Allin, and Adam Copeland versus Christian Cage, my guy Luchasaurus, and Nick Wayne. You know, Sting only has a few matches left. He's made that very public. So the six man, interesting way to go, but he's been aligned with Darby. Obviously, we've seen the tension and the not tension between Adam Copeland and Christian Cage. We know the story there. A six man here. Bill, I'm going to throw it to you first because I know you were a little Sting fan back in the day, man. And he's only got a few matches left. What are your thoughts on him doing more so like the six mans and stuff like that? Where do you think this is going and who do you think is going to win this match?
Well, I'll give you a little hot take, Jones, first. Adam Copeland needs to show out in this match because so far his AEW run has been bland as balls. He has he came out. It was cool. And then he had that first match. Definitely the ring rust was there. And I feel like the return on investment so far is like he's going to be here every week in backstage pre-tapes. And they all automatically, we had the great Christian go fuck yourself line where after, and then after that, he's like, oh, I don't want to fight him now. It's just like we did a complete pump of the break, and I'm like, what happened here? And that did lead to that great Sting promo, but Adam Copeland hasn't done much to be like, wow, he's a big star and he's going to be a headliner for AEW. So he needs this match more than any competitor in this. He needs this more than anyone to shine and to look amazing and to have the crowd behind him, because so far, you know, I can name you five or six other guys in AEW who could do the same job, if not better. Well, easily better. I'll give you one just to pop Kimmy. Put Garcia in there. He'll do a better job. He'll get a better reaction.
He will.
I don't know. It's just Adam Copeland is just, he's older And like, I don't know what's happened. It's just not the same what I thought was going to happen here. So he needs this match more than anyone. But in regards to Sting, no, this is perfect, because what's going to happen is this is a star-studded main event. He's going to attraction match. And what you want to do is you want to save him up for that final match, which I still think is going to be Darby. Darby and he are legit close personal friends. You know, if Lex Luger was still wrestling, that's who it would be against. And this is the closest thing he's going to get to wrestling his closest friend. Ric Flair would be there. I'm not a fan that they signed Ric Flair, given Ric Flair's past, and it's not adding anything to AEW, in my opinion. I think this match is going to be a lot of fun. Christian's great. But what they need to do, unfortunately, they've cooled off a little bit of the TNT title a bit, because I feel like they're not on Dynamite as much. So let's get Christian moving here. Let's get this cooking. Like, let's get the Edge and Christian feud. I know he's not Edge, but let's get that going. They need that. And so I think that it's actually going to be, I think it's going to be Team Sting, because we want to have those feel good moments. It's going to be Sting's final LA match. I know Tony Schiavone's saying, I'd love to see Surfer Sting come out one more time. I could see a little bit of the color in the face paint for California. Remember, he was billed from Venice Beach, California for a long time. So I think we're going to have a really fun match here. Adam Copeland really needs to shine here. And Sting makes Nick Wayne tap. Because Nick Wayne has like 90,000 years ahead of him, because he's only like 17. So yes, he could lose this thing without any sort of damage to him.
Good stuff. And the Mandalorian in the chat saying, "What's up, everybody? I am ready for more.
See you tomorrow.
Fun Dad Sting." Shout out Amanda, BCP A plus player for sure. Jeffrey T Fountain in the chat saying, "Sting ain't gonna drop a match. I'm just gonna copy and paste. That's my copy and paste. Sting ain't losing.
Take a drink."
Cheers, everybody. Wayne, help me out. What do you got?
I guess we'll copy and paste too. But I think the big question is, how high of an item does Sting jump off of for this match? It's a pay-per-view match and it's Sting. So I'm just curious where he finds a section of the crowd or a ladder or something to jump off of. But no, they absolutely win. Sting wins. But I do agree with Bill that this match has to lead away from the multi-man matches, and it really needs to kickstart the Adam and Christian like next steps. It's got to be. I mean, that'll of course involve Nick Wayne and Luchasaurus in the heelish interference type, you know, the Adam against the world kind of feeling. But I do believe they're going to win this match, and it's got to kickstart something a little more long-term. I guess building up maybe even the World's End, if not further.
Good stuff. A lot of people in the chat too, Wayne, also saying Edge will turn, Adam will go heel. I want Adam to turn. Very interesting. Bill, to your point, Amanda saying, I agree, Bill, Rick wasn't necessary to sign. I'm honestly not crazy seeing him wrestle. A lot of people saying, I don't want to see Rick get in the ring. And again, just reading the comments here, Bubba John, welcome in the chat, wondering if Edge goes heel as well. So a lot of that going around. Kimmy, any thoughts on this one?
Okay. I was just going to say, when Edge, as far as Edge going heel to recreate Edge and Christian, that moment has to be a face moment. There's no way. There's no goddamn way Edge can go heel for the Edge and Christian reunion. It has to be the other way around.
That's a fair point.
It has to make a face turn. You cannot have arguably what would be, you got the Hardys, but what would be the reunion in a different company of like one of the greatest tag teams ever as heels. Like just that moment, you would lose the specialness and the authenticity of when that embrace finally does happen, or that 3-second pose. Like it's gotta pop. It's gotta be a face moment.
Wayne's 100% right. Where's the money? Is the money in Edge turning heel or Christian turning face? The ultimate bad guy turning face. That's where the money is.
Good stuff, guys. Really good stuff. Kimmy, anything to add on this one?
This is usually the part of the show where I'm going to complain. that the TNT title's not defended, but they made it up to me because both women's titles are being defended, so I won't complain about that. So yay. But yeah, Sting's gonna be the only AEW superstar to never lose a match. So why have him lose here?
Wait, is he never lost?
Nope.
Holy shit. That's why you're good, Kimmy. I say he loses his last match though.
No, that ruins the whole point of what I just said.
I know, but
goes out on your back.
Kimmy, you want to go to that TBS championship match next?
Oh yeah.
Yeah,
man.
Peru.
Let's
this
do it.
This person can wait. Chris. So we have a triple threat match. We have Chris Statlander versus Julia Hart versus Sky Blue. And poor Sky Blue's gonna take the pin because Julia Hart is finally gonna win the title because she's way too hot right now for them to waste this opportunity again like they did at Wrestle Dream. This will extend the feud between Julia Hart and Chris Statlander to have Statlander possibly win the belt back in her hometown in Long Island at World's End.
Damn.
Good answer. Good answer. I'm not gonna copy and paste, but that's really, really good, Kimmy. I do think Stat's gonna drop the belt here. Julia has done amazing work. You know, the vets are taking note. You know, the entrance alone, the in-ring work has been so crisp, just the improvement, everything about it, it just works. You know what I mean? It's been great. All the stuff they've been doing with Sky and Willow, where they tease something and undid it, and then Sky and Willow and the mist and all that stuff. Too many moving parts for me. I just like what Julia's doing, and I think, you know, you talk about climbing that proverbial ladder. You talk about earning something. I think she's earned it. No disrespect to Stat. You know, I always shout out our interview with Stat, and she said to us, you know, this was years ago, like, championships weren't, you know, really important to her. And this, you know, was obviously a long time ago. She's back. She's leveled up. I'm sure that win over Jade meant a lot to her, for sure. Now she's carrying that TBS title. And big, big fan of Stat, but I'll say this, man. I want to see a little bit more. And it's such a great persona and character, not to take away anything from that. I want to see more in the promo a little bit. I just want to see a little bit more. I want to get a little bit more emotionally invested, and I'm a huge fan of Statlander. I just want a little bit more, and I think right now, Julia Hart is the right person to carry, not even that torch, that title right now, and I think it's going to be a really cool title run, so I also think it's going to be Julia Hart. Bill, are you with us on Julia Hart?
Yeah, man. Yeah, that goes from the cheerleader and who's the manager of the Varsity Blondes, Griff Garrison, and not quote unquote not Brian Pillman anymore with his painted on beard. What a douche. Yeah. man. But yeah. If you're still friends with Teddy Hart, man, you don't get any respect from me. But here's the thing, like, Julia's, yeah, she's it. Statlander, I felt like her TBS title run's been fine, hasn't been as great, but also, again, short bench, not a lot of competition. So you move it to someone who's red hot right now in Julia Hart. I think it's great. I still think you have to turn Sky Blue because she's the kind of acting like, just acting heelish. So I'm like, all right, just do the turn. Like, you've earned my respect. I join you now. I'm like, yeah, let's do what I talked about. Let's have the craft. Put Willow in there with her, and you know what? Sign some other women and make them faces. like do that. That'll be fine. And I also, well, I'll throw Kimmy a bone here. I think when Athena eventually loses the ROH title, she'll come up, and that'll be like a lot of fresh blood in the mix for the women's titles, I should say, and a great opponent if Mercedes does sign.
Good stuff.
You're so nice. Thank you.
Kimmy, you're getting props in the chat again. Kelvin saying, yes, Kimmy. A lot of people saying,
I'm a smart individual.
That's right. Hey, Kelvin's killing it. Jeffrey in the chat saying, Julia will take the belt and get a full female heel stable. I'd be here for that. Miguel in the chat saying, I love Chris, but I also love Julia Hart. She wins, and maybe House of Black wins the whole night as well. People in the chat saying, where's Griff? What was Griff doing?
He's in Ring of Honor.
He's in Ring of Honor teaming with Cole Carter. He's in Maria's new faction.
People saying Sky Blue's dressing up as Scooby-Doo outfit since Holly. Yeah, I did see that. It was interesting because teasing the dark and then having the Scooby-Doo attire, that was a little bit of a disconnect for me.
Listen,
but
Scooby-Doo can get dark, man.
It is spooky. I mean, Scooby-Doo is spooky. You're right.
Scooby-Doo just teaches us that the true monsters are ourselves. You know?
Oh. Not wrong. Not wrong.
You guys want to go Orange Cassidy versus
can I pick this match?
Oh, you can. I'm sorry, man. I'm doing tech over here. Please.
All right, cool. Now,
you're not talking to the draw of the podcast right here. Come on.
Yeah, that's right. He's wearing the merch, brother.
So anyway, I do believe it's Julia Hart, but I believe you get the Willow heel turn. Fuck, because here's the thing.
Really?
You tease the Sky Blue with the eyes and everything, and Willow trying to control that, and then she hit Julia with the blue mist, and then Willow just seemed to be okay. She just snapped out of it. There was no, she just became good. And then, like, you know, she runs out to, like, help this hurt girl and come out with Chris Statlander, right? So everybody expected the Sky Blue moment where she turned to Willow and Stat, and then she spit in Julia's face. Everybody expected that. What nobody is going to expect, because the paint's different, she's back to her bubbly self. I think we get the Willow turn, and that's how Julia wins. And whether Sky Blue joins immediately or not, because I think we have to get the turn. I don't think you get it Saturday. I think you're going to get Julia and Willow, because that's like the most unexpected thing. And I see Randy in the chat. I agree, Willow's heart is pure. I don't even know if there's any, like... I mean, it would almost be like at this point from a happy smiling, like turning Cena heel. Like, I understand it will break my mother-in-law's heart, but she just has to realize that there's got to be good business done. And
hey, Bayley's been a great heel for how long? And absolutely. No one thought she was going to be a face.
Yes,
a face forever.
But she's come, like that hug where she said at the end of the night, "I haven't done this in a while." I'm telling you, that's a whole different discussion, but. Bayley will be a face again in the next 3 months. But with that being said, Julia wins. I think we finally get the Willow heel turn that nobody expects. Well, I can't say nobody because I'm sure people think like me. But
well, you're actually predicting it.
I can't say nobody. That's bullshit. But yeah, that's what I think.
Good, really good stuff. Wayne, I see you got notes over there, man. Good stuff. My gut is like, just like Randy said in the chat, like, no, it's like Willow. I'm thinking that's bad business. No, like, that's Willow, what she's doing, it's money. Like, don't do like the Dark Willow or this like stuff. Like, it doesn't make sense, man. Like, the merch, like the way the year Willow's been having, like, but I am also not dumb. I have been so many times wrong when a face turned heel. Kimmy's nodding. Let's see. Britt Baker, the Usos. I'm like, no, don't turn them. Don't turn them. And I'm always wrong. I'm notoriously wrong. So I'll be the first one to admit that. Kimmy's checking them off right now. Let's go to Mox.
I was doing a DMD for my friend. That's what I was doing.
Your DMD. Oh, I thought you were just listening.
You talked about Britt, my friend. Come on, Rob.
Yeah, DMD. That's right. Let's talk about Mox versus, I almost said Omega, Orange Cassidy, The Revenge 2. I think this is a match where they're just going to go all out, you know, before they go out there like, hey, we're just going to leave it all on the line, like between the two of these guys. I was thinking about it. I think they're going to, and we know all of Mox's comments on, you know, concussions and take care of the wrestlers, which is super, super important. That being said, I think they are going to tease the hell out of some sort of pile driver spot. I think they're going to lean into that a little bit. They're going to leave it all on the line. And I think it's going to be a hell of a match. It's going to be really, really good. Oh, I think I'm going to go Mox here. And Wayne, I'm going to throw it to you first.
All right. So I am just get it out of the way to pull the Band-Aid off. I'm going to stick with Orange Cassidy. And the reason is, you know, he needs it. I know, you know, you got to build up to something, but like Orange needs this win. You know what I mean? Mox took it from him. I think it was in Chicago pay-per-view the week after the London pay-per-view. So, like, oh, my God. Like, that whole pay-per-view had no reason to be as good as it was. But that match was phenomenal, right? And then you got, you know, the injury thing. So it went to, you know, Phoenix back to Cassidy. I feel like with his attitude and, like, him kind of coming and him kind of partnering up with Hook, I feel like while it's still the fun Orange Cassidy, you got to admit, there's a huge difference in Orange Cassidy's demeanor than it was. He's leveled up. Because, like, you know, you get, like, the stupid fake kicks, but that's, like, maybe one or two. And then it goes into, like, he's really, like, cracking, you know, he's cracking down, and he's been doing that. So you still get a really good nod to what made Orange Cassidy that, you know, novelty experience. But, man, he's leveled up just in pure, not only skill, but aggression, you know? And I really think that this is that feather in his cap to be able to beat Mox clean, not clean, whatever the case may be, right? It's Orange Cassidy. But I think he gets the win over Mox because I think he needs that. And, you know, however long he has the belt after that is whatever. But I don't think this is a time to lose it to Mox. I think he actually gets this win on Saturday.
Interesting. Yeah. And a lot of people in the chat, some saying Mox, I'm saying Orange as well. Jeffrey in the chat saying Mox in a bloody brawl. Kelvin, again, a little bit of a hot take if you ask me. Hear me out. Orange is turning. That belt has him in a different mode. Kimmy is nodding. What is happening right now, Kimmy?
Well, you and I also agree Mox is going to win, so this it's all wrong. It's all wrong.
But what do you got on Orange turn? You think Orange is going to turn?
Didn't you see when he won the title back, he ditched his friends and just looked at the title? Are you kidding? Heel turn, Rob. This is not the only heel turn we'll see tonight. That night, though. There's another one coming.
You don't think it's a misdirect?
Not with Willow.
I was going to say he's going to turn heel. This begs the question, and again, notoriously, the first one to admit, I'm way off base on these things. But before Bill brings the voice of reason here, I'm probably way off on this. But we talk about Willow turning. You're going to turn Orange Cat. You don't want to talk about merch sales. You want to talk about being popular with the kiddos. And let's be real, AEW, it's not as much of the family product as the other product, man. We're going to turn Orange Cassidy now? Is that?
Yes.
I mean, you know what?
Just punching puppies in the street that night. You know what I mean? That's all AEW is doing if that happens.
And I know.
He's slapping babies.
It caters towards the smart fan. I understand that, you know, and I'm sure some of the really heavy fans are going to love that. But I don't know if that's we're talking business here. I don't know if that's you're going to turn Orange Cassidy heel here now. And again, I'm notoriously wrong on this, Bill. I see you smiling over there.
No, Kimmy still hasn't picked.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm rattled. I'm all over the place. You got Willow's going to turn. Orange Cassidy's going to turn. What bizarre world? What bizarre world are we living in? I'm sorry, Kimmy. I apologize.
AEW 2023. We're on a road here. The world is ending December 30th, Rob. Do you not see the name of the document that you're on? It literally says before the world ends, Team Bill versus Team Kimmy, Full Gear Predictions 2023. That's the name of the document you're reading. Anyway, so yes, Orange Cassidy is very obsessed with this title. He doesn't need his friends anymore. And the last time I checked, people like cheering for heels in this company. So you talk about business and merch sales and all that stuff, but the top heels in the company are people that our fans are enjoying. So it's not going to ruin anything. The best friends need to move on, do their thing. Hell, Trent's in Ring of Honor tomorrow. Put them both in Ring of Honor because we need help. Yeah, put Trent in Ring of Honor. But you know what? Our TV champion decided to be an asshole last week. Let's put Trent in the freaking TV tournament that we're going to announce tomorrow.
Wow. Samoa Joe somewhere is like, Jesus, where's the heat with Kimmy? I don't know.
Don't relinquish your title for no reason, buddy. So yes, Orange Cassidy's going to turn heel and John Moxley is going to win because if John Moxley didn't get hurt, he'd still be champion right now.
And you bring up a great point also, Kimmy. You know, I think the business is evolved. It's not always face and heel, but there's a very, you know, case to be made for the cool heel, you know, like that's the cool heel, which we talk about a lot on this show. So that's actually
a
really
black jean jacket.
Okay. Interest? Oh, like, but again, the dark character. Right. I get what you're saying. This is.
He can put his hands in his pocket with his middle fingers out.
Oh, you know? God. Here we go. These are all the things in the chat. I'm sure there's some opinions as well. Bill, help me. Dude, I'm all over the place. Help me out, please.
I don't. So, one thing, I'm going to flash back to about 2 years ago, maybe. And there was a certain Rob of the Bob Culture podcast. He's like, when Dragon and Hangman were going at it, you're like, why is he a heel? Kimmy's right. And many times there's not heels and baby faces in the traditional sense. It's all about what the situation dictates. So right now, like, Mox is a heel. He's the heel in the situation. Brian Danielson is a face in 90% of the situations. It's just, and they've even said it. They're like, listen, we are who we are. If you don't like who we are when we're fighting your favorites, okay, if you love us when we fight the people you hate, all right, we're just here to hurt people. And what I think this is going to do is I think Orange Cassidy is going to retain, because what I think the original plan was, Moxley was going to hold the title and he was going to have a run with it. Of course, he gets concussed. He makes the, you know, last second, you know, game time decision, put it on Phoenix. So we had to get the belt back because Orange is going to win because he needs the win back. We're evened up. So what you can eventually do is do a third match here, and it could be whatever. It doesn't have to be at World's End. It could be whenever. Because that match that main evented All Out is one of Moxley's best matches, and it's definitely one of Orange Cassidy's best matches. And Kimmy was there live. That's why she's smiling. Thanks to the popbreak.com.
Starcast.
Popbreak. And so, yeah, I mean, Starcast didn't get you into the media scrum, did they? So, you know, I was saying, you could tell your former AEW women's champion, it was Popbreak who got him there.
Thunder Rosa. I'll make sure to let her know.
Yeah, you jerk. They're not going to hire me, so whatever. What I'm saying is, so I think we're going to see a new killer instinct within Orange Cassidy, where there are times where certain characters will go to the dark place when they need it. Jushin Thunder Liger famously had Kieran Liger, where he would rip his mask off and he had face paint and he was the dark version of him. There was also the dark Liger version where he was a full heel, but that's not going to ruin my point. Orange Cassidy's not turning heel, because he's just going to be Orange Cassidy with a different, you know, shade of his character. So he can go into this thing and he could do things, because I think Moxley is going to be in the Continental Classic, and I think Orange will go on to defend that. And I think Orange should drop the title to someone like Roosh, a guy who needs it, who needs to do something, who's more violent. And then by Orange Cassidy beating John Moxley and then losing to Roosh, holy shit, that makes him look a lot bigger and badder. So I think that's where we go here. So Orange Cassidy for the retain.
Good stuff. Good conversation, guys. Miguel in the chat saying, OC can't be a heel because he doesn't have a catchphrase. That's funny. I like that.
They should bring that shit back. His promos were great, and they stopped doing them.
Yeah.
Because he's turning heel, and that was over. Duh.
Bill, I'm going to throw it back to you, man, because we're talking about your guy, Hangman Adam Page, taking on Swerve.
Motherfucking Hangman Adam Page. Let's talk about that goddamn promo tonight. That is how
it was good.
Fucking seats. Here's the thing that blows my mind. I don't know what is up with Hangman. I don't know what's up with anything these days. I just try to enjoy the goddamn show sometimes. This is why Hangman should be on TV every week. He's the most over dude in the company. Like, people outside MJF, people love him. They buy into his emotion. He should still be a main event guy. Like, and Swerve is awesome. He has proven all year long. He is great. He put the work in on his body. He's put the work in on everything. These guys are going to bleed buckets. And I think Hangman's got to win here because the dude invaded your house. You have to win. And what'll be the specialty here? Hangman wins again in the Texas Death Match. The time he loses that is going to be the really, really important one, because he's beaten Moxley. He'll beat Swerve. He'll beat Adam Cole. He beat Lance Archer. And I want to say he beat Brian in all these death matches. One day he's going to lose it to somebody. That's going to mean a lot. So that's why Swerve's going to lose here, but Swerve loses nothing here. It's like your buddy and Vicky's buddy, Bully Ray, would say. It's not, did you go over or did you get over, brother? That's what happens there.
Good stuff, Bill. I'm not copying and pasting, but I'm going to add on to what you're saying. Before we do that, can we talk about how Prince Nana, you kicked my girlfriend against Gangolin. Guys, check out that match. But yeah, let's get it going, Bill. Come on, Wayne. I know you can dance. Come on, gimme. Let's do it.
No.
Come on.
No.
Come on.
Also, you could see both Prince Nana and Swerve Strickland at Hog December 1st.
Ooh. This House of Glory, for not a barbecue place.
I thought this is a wrestling podcast. You'd think people would know that.
Yes. Yeah, I know, but you'd be surprised.
Or you could get barbecue and go to Hog. That sounds like an amazing day. Really
I'll
good.
probably be there. So yay,
I've never
me.
been. It always looks like a great time, great card.
So
Oh, it looks
fun.
awesome. Yeah, shout out House of Glory. Bill, I'm gonna add on to what you said. First of all, dude, the promo, man. Like, I've been hot and cold with Hangman past couple weeks, dude. I red hot, man. He has won me over. Great promo, man. And it wasn't even the digs, man. It was just like, dude, spitting fire, man. Like, it was so good. It was relatable. It was real. The jabs at Nana, even when, and it was right there in front of us the whole time. He's like, "Oh, I can't hit you. I'll just take it out on Nana." Like, it was right there the whole time, and I didn't see it coming. It was so fantastic. And I'm sitting here going, "Well, Swerve's got to win this one, because, Swerve is the next guy. He's going to put Swerve over." But this is going to keep going, man. It's that good. We talk about great dance partners. This is round two of three, and this one goes to Hangman. I think the next round goes to Swerve. Wayne, I see you nodding.
Yeah, now I'm just for time and because I really have nothing more to add to it, I'm going to copy and paste. I agree. I got Hangman winning for the reasons that you and Bill said. I have nothing more to add to that. Yes.
All right, fair enough. Hey, at least we got the na-na dance out of you. Unlike Kimmy, who didn't dance or do the juke.
No, I don't do any of those. This is horrible. You're hijacking a podcast for dancing, and you're all like in your 40s. That's kind of embarrassing.
And
I'm
I have,
not
that's
gonna
very
lie.
fair. That's
And I
very
have
fair.
more, and I have better dance moves and more rhythm than you,
You
22
probably
year old.
do.
DJ
That's
Father
okay.
Christmas.
That's perfectly fine. I don't
It's
care about
not. It's not
any of that.
actually.
I don't care. I didn't even dance in my prom or my sweet 16, and here I am living my best life. Anyway, so Adam Page is going to win. This is sadly going to lead to three matches, which I don't want. Swerve should be challenging for the TNT title that's not being defended on this card because I can't have nice things.
Done and done. All right, Kelvin in the chat saying this is going to be match of the night. The promo tonight makes me believe that Swerve wins. Hangman was trying to get in Swerve's head after Swerve got to him. Very, very interesting. Kimmy, what do we got? I'm leaning towards the main soon, but we have a tag match.
You
The
could
Young
have like
Bucks.
two other matches. Do you
Yeah.
see the document you're reading?
I'm
Great.
He doesn't. He
Oh,
has
wait.
poor eyes.
House of Black has a match.
Yes, that's oh my God, it's all in the document.
I'm
Just read it.
scrolling. I'm doing tech. I'm reading the comments. I'm
We're
hosting the
gonna.
show.
We're probably gonna get a Wheeler Yuta versus Hook match at some point.
I was about to say, I think that's gonna
Buy-in.
be added in. Yep, one
Please.
collision. Yep.
I'm
I
here
think
for
they.
that. I'm here for that. That'd be great. AEW World Tag Team Championship, Ricky Starks and Big Bill
You skipped a
versus
match on the document.
what's that?
If the Golden Jets win, they will get the Young Bucks AEW World Tag Team Championship opportunity. But if the Young Bucks win, the Golden Jets must
Never
disband
tag
as a
again.
team. It will be the Golden Jets. You skipped this completely on the document. I could
Oh,
tell
I wasn't
you.
going in order. But yeah, go ahead. We'll go with that. I was
My
doing the
OCD requires me to go in order. And I could be like, I could tell you that you don't know how to read, but that would offend some people as it has
He
in the
knows how to
past.
read. He knows how to read.
That was a dig. I thought you'd get my inside joke. I'm kind of upset
Oh,
you didn't.
yeah. Well, he. That person can't read.
Go ahead, Kimmy.
It'll be
Go
the
ahead.
Golden Jets versus the Young Bucks, and the Young Bucks are going to turn heel too because they just can't. They're so upset. They're so frustrated. Don't you see? They keep tonight. They bumped into each other. They lost their six-man titles. There are a lot of frustrations, and they're not going to get the job done here. And it's going to be they're making very upset, especially because Kenny. They just want the Elite back. This is all Elite wrestling. And the Elite are not all together. So when the Golden Jets beat them for their tag team opportunity, the Young Bucks are gonna turn into bad guys. I'm just turning everyone heel. Everyone should be a bad guy. It's
It
fun.
should be.
Rob, you should be a heel.
It should be AHW, all heel wrestling. Is like that's all.
Exactly.
Wayne, you can go next, brother.
Oh, cool. Yeah. So, wow. I hate when Kimmy says stuff before me. I'm just like, well, that's out the window. I agree that the Golden Jets are going to win, and I agree because why. Why are the Young Bucks, I know they're EVPs and all that fun stuff, but why are they getting like all of these opportunities? Like when
They
there's
won
so
a
many
match.
people. No, I know they won the match, but then I think Matt also won a singles match to get a tight end. But I'm saying, but why? Like we got such we they have such an expanded roster of great wrestlers. And look, like you already own the place. Like, stop. So I feel like the Golden Jets win. They get the tag title opportunity. And as far as the Bucks turning heel, I mean, you saw it tonight with the double low blows. You know what I mean? While they're like they normally do stuff, but like Taz even said, you know, the double yam bag city there, but it's never quite as blatant as what happened tonight. I mean, it was literally just kick one, kick two, you know, and so I could see the heel thing. But either way, I got the Golden Jets winning just because it just makes the most sense to me to get that title opportunity off of the Bucks, because they don't need it, man. They're so decorated in just who they are. Like, they don't need gold. They could just be the Bucks, and they're still a huge draw. They're still over no matter what they decide to do. But the Golden Jets get it. I'm not even saying that Omega and Jericho need belts, but I just think that the Bucks don't need the opportunity that they won. And I think this is a very clever way of passing that on to another team without just denying the Bucks their opportunity.
I get what you're saying. I think that's a really fair assessment. This one, I'm having a lot more trouble than I probably should picking a winner on this one. And Kelvin in the chat saying the Bucks kind of turned tonight, which you said as well, Wayne. I feel the same way. And, you know, we're talking about Willow, Orange Cassidy, the Bucks all turn. I don't know about all that. Definitely the Bucks here. But I'm having a hard time with this one. Bill, you go first, man.
It's the Golden Jets. They're going to take it. They're a fresh team. There's something new. I think AEW needs a bit of a tag team reset. The garbage train rumors are that, you know, the reason it was like we were going to get FTR Bucks again, and some people didn't want to do business, and so that's why things are getting a little shuffled around. You said, why do the Bucks get the opportunities? Because they are a draw. They're one of the greatest tag teams of all time. So whoever beats them looks better when they beat them. So that's why they're going to do it. That's why they lost in the first round of the tag team tournament to Private Party. You know, that didn't go as many places. But look at tonight. If people want to say the Bucks are mailing it in, they go out there with Penta and Commander, who's like they've never worked before. Everyone looked great in that match.
It was a fantastic match.
Yeah, so I think this is going to be a very underrated match. However, we do have an injured Omega. And I also like the fact that we're playing into the heel Young Bucks here and we're playing into the CM Punk stuff. Oh, we have no problem with you, Kenny. We have a problem with this guy. Why are you starting to fight? Listen, that's classic Young Bucks. And I think that's what Young Bucks haven't had an edge in a long time. And that's been the problem. There's been no edge to the Young Bucks. They've been kind of like in between snarky, shitty baby faces that are just like kind of too cool for school, which doesn't work. What they need to go back to is being shit ass heels like they were when AEW was red hot, when they went back on the road in 2021. And that's what's going to get them over. And so I'm going to say that's why they're going to lose. And eventually we're going to get some sort of rumble with Omega and the Bucks and going down the line. And I think what's eventually going to happen is it's going to be the Golden Lovers against the Young Bucks. We're going to run that back. And I think we run that at World's End. So I think that's ultimately where we're going to go, because Jericho will get taken to the Don Callis family feud again. That's where that'll go. Probably Sammy comes back by then, we hope, because he did have that really bad concussion. So.
Concussion protocol, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Young Bucks, they don't have an edge. They have an Adam Copeland. Kelvin in the chat saying, Bucks don't lose at home, though. Bill's trying not to punch me through the screen right now. Bucks don't lose at home. What is it? Ranch Cucamonga? What is it?
Rancho Cucamonga.
Is that L.A.?
It's in California.
No, it's in California.
California. Okay. I gotcha. So that's an interesting point as well. I'm going to say Jericho. I think Kenny. That, did you say Omega was hurt?
Well, he cut his hand open, legit, in the match.
Oh, it wasn't
tonight.
Like the sugar glass?
Okay. Well, it doesn't matter. It's still actually, sharp edge is a sharp edge, you know. But I think what to the point of that person is, that's why it's going to drive them to be Hill even more, because they lost in California.
Fair point. Kenny's just so damn good, man. He is just so damn good.
Slightly okay in wrestling.
Yeah, okay. I like him and Jericho together a lot for that reason, for what you guys said. I'll copy and paste for sure. Young Bucks, there's a little wiggle room there. You know, we kind of saw a little bit of the story being told here tonight. Let's move on. Kimmy, help me with this last one as I'm scrolling through your document.
It is the AEW World Tag Team Championship. It will be Ricky Starks and Big Bill versus LFI Rush and the newly signed AEW signee. I said that twice. Wow. Jalisco versus FTR versus the Kings of the Black Throne, Malakai Black and Brody King.
And who
am I
picking
here?
Yeah.
Oh, so since Julia's winning, all the House of Black got to win a title, right? So Malakai and Brody, why not? I don't know why we put the titles on Ricky Starks and Big Bill. I thought that was really stupid. But you could continue this here because the King of the Black Throne and Ricky Starks and Big Bill are all on Collision. So this is going to be a Collision thing.
And House of Black is typically featured on Collision more times than not, right?
Yes.
Exclusively.
Yeah.
They're exclusively on Collision. You did not hear that from me.
No, they said that in interviews.
They said that publicly.
Oh, okay.
They just want to be Collision. Yep.
Like Miro. Yeah. They just want to be Collision wrestlers.
Yep. Miro and the House of Black.
It's interesting how they more recently than not dropped the Trios titles. And now they would just get the tag titles. That seems a little weird to me, but I think it's got to be them, Malakai and Brody. Just looking at the teams, Starks and Bills, still weird for me. I think it's got to be them. Like, House of Black wins the night, like they were saying earlier in the chat. Bill, what do you got?
I'm going to go left field. I'm going Rush and Jalisco because, fuck it, have you seen those vignettes of them just beating the piss out of people? Rush is – it's different. Like, run with someone new. Like, I like Big Bill. I think Big Bill's actually going to have a good run in AEW. Ricky Starks, we don't know if he's even going to be around next year. Like, FTR is FTR. You know, they don't need the belts. House of Black, give me an LFI House of Black feud. That'll be good. Like, that will be a solid-ass Collision feud. And that's why you'll run around with that. And listen, if LFI wants to, you know, team with, you know, bring a female in to wrestle to equalize Julia, you could do that. I think there's a lot to go with. Rush is awesome. This is not the Rush who was, sorry, Kimmy. This is not the Rush who was the Ring of Honor champion who didn't do that much. This is a motivated guy who's like, people are like, this guy is vicious. This guy's insane. I've seen Jalisco wrestle live. He's awesome. Like, push these guys. They're newly signed. Just go with them. Like, Big Bill can go to Ring of Honor and he could be at the TV tournament. That would be great. Gives him something to do. It's something different. Kimmy, whatever. Like, you're always like, give Ring of Honor people. Then when say, oh, take that person.
I don't want a TV tournament. It shouldn't take place. We should have had a champion who didn't relinquish his title for
I wish I was.
Reason.
I was 6'1", but I'm not. So I mean, like, okay. And I'm just like, well, I should have been 6 feet tall. Well, I'm only 5'10". Well, fuck it. That's what I am. So it's just like, here we are.
I am 6'1". You're not missing a damn thing.
Well, sure. I'm missing 3 inches. That's what I'm missing. And it's like, you know, but I'm saying, like, I feel like putting LFI, the belts on them, makes them important, makes them matter, and it gives us something new. But Kimmy's probably right. It's probably
there. It is a lot of House of Black. A lot of House of Black in the chat. Kelvin saying Rush should be that guy. Seriously, for sure. Miguel adding that I think the Bucks did lose once in Cali. Very interesting. Wayne, what do you got on this one, bud?
It's so weird because if anybody, I'm looking at my notes. If anybody would have said it, of course, it's going to be Bill. I also have LFI, and the reason is AEW has been investing a lot of time in the rebirth of LFI.
Money.
Kidnap, take it over to Mexico. I mean, you know, I know it's probably all on a sound stage in LA or something, or maybe it's when they did like a Triple A show, they filmed everything. But like just that resurgence, that new anger, that new ruthlessness, that new bloodthirstiness, that win at all cost. You know what I mean? Like, you don't take the time to take something that was, I mean, for lack of better words, kind of stale. Like, they just continue to go out and lose and lose and lose. Like, every iteration of their teaming just never worked. So you refocus, you realign, you do some vignettes, you really make them something spectacular, and then you give them this opportunity just to lose. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just throwing it out the window. And I was shocked when Bill and Ricky won the belts out of nowhere. I think LFI wins it, and then you have your LFI House of Black feud. And I agree. I had them penciled in to, I thought that was going to be my Wayne stupid take of the night, but apparently it's, fairly supported. So, all right. Yep. I got LFI.
There's no Wayne stupid take of the night. No, man.
Oh, there's one. There's so many. Every episode.
Good stuff. No, Kelvin in the chat didn't think about this. Kimmy, feel free to no comment on this one. He says, what if, and again, hear me out. What if LFI brings in Thunder Rosa?
Nope, I will not accept that at all. Do you notice actually?
Or no comment.
He's feuding with Athena actually on Twitter, so I think she's going to dabble in my company, which I fully do not support.
Yeah, but I could see, but to his point, like if they're going to eventually do that, like they could bring her in as a one time. I'd rather someone new and different. There's that woman they want to bring in from CMLL, Stephanie Vacker, who was in the New Japan Strong tournament, who everyone's raving. And she's like, oh, I do something with AEW. If you're going to do a one-off, that's a great one-off, you know? So, again, or a great, you know, short-term feud, you know, do something different there. Yeah.
You can use Miranda Alizé. She's known as the Lucha Baddie. Use her. Don't use Thunder. Wow. I'll be angry.
Hit a nerve.
She's like the Hulk, Rob. Like in the Avengers, it's like she's always angry.
Oh, man.
I am not always angry.
Well, the chat seems to like it. I saw Wayne nodding as well. I don't hate it, man. Jeffrey in the chat saying I'd be here for that. Miguel saying that'd be dope. I don't hate it. I don't hate it. Good stuff, Kelvin. Check out the No Gimmicks podcast, one of our sponsors, and Kelvin bringing it here tonight in the chat. Kimmy, am I getting yelled at? Are we at our main event?
You are. It's almost like you looked at my entire cheat sheet to get you to this moment. How do you feel?
I couldn't have done it without you, Kimmy. That's why
his hair is getting high. That means he's sleepy.
Yeah. All right. MJF defending. I hate the belt stealing angle. I'll try not to.
That's not my favorite. I hate it.
Outside of Eddie Guerrero, who it was perfect for.
And 20 years ago.
And WWE did it recently too. I feel like Theory took it from Ray or something for an episode.
They do it every six months.
Yeah, I'm not a fan.
Bullet Club is doing it across multiple promotions right now.
Okay.
Because didn't Finlay steal the belt in New Japan or?
Yeah, he just did the US title. Then he stole our hearts by injecting himself in the match.
Right. So right, exactly. So
motherfucker.
What I'm saying is, you know, so that's like par for the course of the Bullet Club gimmick right now. Like in multiple promotions, they're stealing a belt. So, you know, but so I didn't mean to cut you off, Rob.
That's a good point.
No,
though, man.
Thank you. No, I appreciate that. Again, like I need the context. I need the information to make a judgment for sure. Again, Jay White taking on MJF. This hasn't been my favorite. Expectations for Jay White have been very, very high. I feel like MJF is the glue holding this thing together. I hate the belt stealing thing. I feel like that's beneath Jay. That's just me personally. Again, the angle is very, very based on that belt stealing angle. I feel like Jay White being brought in and, you know, all the rumors saying like, oh, he was going to go to WWE, this and that. He's so great, this and that. I'm expecting more, and I am not the most versed on Jay White. I'll be the first one to admit it. He's great on the stick. He's great on the mic, and he has solid promos, but like, you know, it sucks what happened to Adam Cole. That definitely threw everything off for sure. But this thing, I feel like MJF is really keeping it afloat. The belt stealing thing for MJF to go out there night after night and fight as the AEW world champion and not have the belt. That match with Kenny Omega, I was way more interested in that. And it was just a stats thing. It was a numbers thing. And what a match that was. What a fantastic match that was. And the show respect afterward, if you saw it on social media, way more invested in that. And the fact that the dude didn't even have the belt present in the whole match before the match went off, there was no actual belt. That's just telling how great that match was. But I digress, as Taz says. I'm just not buying into this one as much as I want to. It's been good. The devil thing almost feels like a distraction because it's lacking to me. I mean, I don't want to like hate on it, but I'm just expecting more from Jay White here. I'm expecting more from the promo. Max is doing his thing. I can almost feel like Max is doing everything he can, as he has been all year, to keep this going. I don't see Max losing the belt here. Not to Jay White, not in this storyline. I think it's going to come down to this reveal of the devil. Maybe that's going to be the big payoff here in this one. Bill, you're actually agreeing with me, man. I thought you might not agree, so please.
So what the problem with this whole thing was, this thing needed one promo and then the match, because people wanted to see it. So you know, according to whatever you want to read, the whole thing was, it's a CM Punk thing. It was supposed to be Jay White and CM Punk. That was supposed to be the first feud for Jay White. And then for pay-per-view, not MJF. But as things go, car changes, Bubba. So here we are. You didn't need to sell it this long. We didn't need an AEW had a very sports entertainment-y run post-Wrestle Dream, which they didn't need. And this was all a bunch of horse shit that was just added, that, you know, it's just like AEW is just like, cut the shit, play the hit. All we need is, give us the one promo from Jay White, give us the one promo from MJF. Cool. Go fight. This match will be great. And I get where you're saying, Rob, you're like, it hasn't sold me. If you saw the FTR versus Bull Club Gold match from Collision, it was awesome. It's a 60 minute tag team match. It's phenomenal. Jay White is a great tactician. I saw him, as did Kimmy, wrestle Okada at the Garden. They had people eating out of the palm of their hands. I shredded my voice to the almost bleeding. That's how much I was screaming during that match. Because Jay White is such a shit heel. So he can get it done. He is a main event guy. However, the build has sucked. And I think the devil stuff is more interesting because it's been a 6-week build to what really only needed two. Because when you have two guys like going back and forth, it's like, even the Punk MJF dog collar match, that stretched out a little too long too. It's just like, guys, we get it. Just go. And when they did, a classic. That's what we're going to get here. We're going to get something really great here. The only way MJF loses would be if Wardlow interferes and costs him the belt. But like you just said, the most important thing here is, who's the devil? And if it's Adam Cole, that's more important. We also, in theory, don't know if MJF is still with the company in 2024. So the whole devil thing is, could the devil beat him at World's End? He has the title. If MJF's not there, he's off to the WWE, or he just takes time off and comes back hot. By the way, he's the executive producer on a movie that's probably going to get an Oscar nomination for Best Picture and multiple Best Actor things. So he's going to have some time he needs to hang out with Alicia Tudor about. So,
there it is.
You know, just, yeah. So I'm going to say MJF retains, and at World's End is where he loses the title to someone.
Interesting, man. Bill, like I said, if we had that around the horn, man, 3 points right now, man.
After 3 years, I finally get points at a fucking around the horn analogy. Every time it's like everyone else, I'm like,
no,
ECP original, my ass.
I thought that was great. Wayne, you're a lot more well versed in the Bullet Club and what they've been doing, man, than I am. What can you add to this, man? What are your personal thoughts on Jay White and how this has gone down?
Wish the new Bullet Club would be in AEW.
I absolutely love Jay White. I mean, everything, the matches he's done, he's an absolute tactician. I've met him in a couple expos, and he's just, you know, always in character, kind of like MJF, like just an incredible, incredible wrestler. That being said, I mean, we all know, like, the belt-stealing angle. I don't think it had to go about this way. I know cards subject to change. They needed to pivot. And why else would Jay White deserve a title shot unless he manufactured his own luck, right? So by stealing the belt, he kind of had that as leverage over MJF, you know, to get this title shot. So I get that. Like Bill said, this match is going to be an absolute banger, right? Both of these guys can go. It's going to be a great match. MJF wins. I got MJF keeping the belt. I just don't. There's not a world that exists that I feel like you take the triple B off of MJF yet. Not while there's this whole devil build thing in the background that like 80% of the world thinks is Adam Cole. And, you know, and it's going to be that broken heart moment when MJF finally shows vulnerability and somebody uses it against him. And like that, you want to build, like, let that happen. World's End. I 100% agree with everything Bill said. It's going to be a great match, worthy of a main event. I truly believe it because Jay White is magic in the ring with anybody. But MJF keeps the belt. I'm just curious how Bullet Club Gold gets neutralized for this match. So, you know, that's also something you got to think about, because when all three of them are out there, it's tough sledding. You know what I mean? When you're on the other side of the ring and Bullet Club Gold's around the ring. So once we figure out how that neutralization works, if they're banned from ringside, if they just get beat the hell up so bad in the pre-show that they can't help.
Oh, I know. You know how?
All right. Fantastic.
Yeah. They'll have the Acclaim come back.
Oh, and now so, played up the ramp kind of deal.
And then eventually we move into Bull Club Gold versus the Acclaim for the Trios.
The trios perfect.
Okay. And then that's where the Bull Club Gold gets their first taste of gold.
That's where they give the belts. Yep. Okay. Perfect. Good call. Before Kimmy, take us home.
Yeah, I was going to say, before I throw it to Kimmy in the chat, most of the talk is about the devil, like the reveal of the devil. So that's very interesting to me over the actual match. A lot of people saying MJF's going to win and actually get the belt back. Kimmy, take us home.
As Jay White's security guard, I would love it if he won. I am. That's a true story.
Jay White has enough abs for everyone to wash their clothes on. I think he doesn't need to be a security guard.
He wanted security from the New York fans, and he chose me, and that's why we're friends. So, I was saying,
you would be my first choice for security too, Kimmy. Don't worry.
Thank you. I am so many wrestler security. Trish Stratus, Britt Baker, the list goes on. Anyway.
I think Kimmy and a taser could pretty much neutralize any bad situation. I think it'd be fine.
Don't give her ideas, bro.
Can we make that possible? I would. That would be fun on convention days. So, I would be so happy if Jay White won. Sadly, it's not going to happen. But MJF will retain his title. And in the main event in his hometown, he will be wrestling the person who will be teaming with him on the pre-show, Samoa Joe. And Samoa Joe will beat MJF for the title in Long Island.
Hmm. Ooh. Interesting. Wow, what a way to end. Kimmy, you guys are really getting a lot of ideas over here tonight. Very good stuff. I don't think Orange Cassidy's turning. That's a story for another day. I'm sure you guys will yell at me when
I'm wrong. Does turn heel, yep. I'm going to text you immediately and say, I told you so.
Fair enough. I was going to make a friendly wager, like a coffee or something, but you and Mueller, you and Kyle, you guys all had signs and stuff. I'm not getting involved with any of that stuff.
You know who I never have a fight with?
Who?
Phil.
Yeah, well, he's the grandmaster.
Great guy, all the guy.
That's right, guys. Great show. Let's get out of here. Let's go to bed. Before we do that, we're all about the shameless promo here on the BCP. Bill, tell him about the Pop Break, socially distanced tomorrow as well.
All right, yes, thepopbreak.com. Been doing this for 14 years. So stoked to be just coming to you guys. You know, talking about all sorts of entertainment. Brain just died in the middle of that sentence. Follow us on all forms of social media at The Pop Break. If you must follow me on Twitter for some goddamn reason, it's at Bodkin Writes, WRITES. I am the co-host of the Socially Distanced Podcast, which drops on all your favorite streaming platforms. This week, it's the return of the NFC East group therapy session, where myself, BCP original Amanda Rivas, Ben Merkerson, and the voice of God, Marshall Stevenson, we all talk about the NFL, and I basically just turn into a puddle of tears talking about the New York Football Giants. I am also the Bill in the Bill versus the MCU podcast, which you can find on the Pop Break Today feed. We just concluded our Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 4 review. Our next episode will be recapping all the Marvel stuff that came out in the second half of 2023. That's Secret Invasion, the Marvels, and Loki Season 2. I also do Anchored and Asbury, which I do infrequently, and it's on Pop Break Today. And finally, the TV Break podcast, which airs the first Monday. Oh, yeah, something like that. First Monday of every month on the Pop Break TV feed. Wayne, tell us all about yourself. Yes. And the Key Nation and where people can find you on social media, because Rob's in, he's taking a nap right now.
Almost.
He's thinking about his girlfriend. He's thinking about his girlfriend, lasagna, and his dog. He's fine. That's
way too accurate.
I was about to say, that is a combination. No, I appreciate it. So, So Key Nation is on TikTok. You can follow me on Facebook. It's just Wayne Keener. Make sure it's the one with me and not the one with the guy with the fishing rod. That's my dad. He's not nearly as interesting. You can also follow me.
Heat with your dad.
Yeah, that's fine. He knows. You can follow me on Twitter at, I think I'm still at Jersey Sleep because they won't let me change that. And Instagram at Key Nation. I don't really got a lot going on, but I have dropped the content a little bit on TikTok, but I'm looking to get back to that. I got a couple drinks that I'm going to review. And here lately, it's just been a lot of Home Depot cat footage because we do have a cat called Cheeks. And so it's just a lot of me playing with the Home Depot cat at work when I should be managing the specialty department. But that's another thing for another day. But yeah, so that's all I got going on. And that's it. I guess if we're going to do this whole thing, I guess at this time I will turn it over to Kimmy. And you can let us know your laundry list of things that we can find you on.
It's so busy. It's so sad. So
she's
if you
like
must...
Daniel Garcia fan club, Jay White Security, Britt Baker's personal best friend, and Maria Kanellis's personal protege. Booker of Ring of Honor in 2 years.
2 years. Wow. You know, that's a lot of hope there. Wow.
Tony's gonna hold on to it for a while.
Yeah, I'd hope so. He's killing it. Anyway, so if you must hear me complain about Ring of Honor, you can read my Pop Break articles every single week. They drop sporadically throughout the week, but that's okay. It's sporadically, you know. One dropped today if you want a preview before tomorrow's episode. By the way, Rachel Ellering, Layla Hirsch, tag team now. Love it. One of the few good things they're doing in that company. Or you could listen to me talk about it for about 15 minutes on Friday mornings at 10 a.m. when I drop that on YouTube and Spotify. I will be at WrestleCade next week, but here's the catch. I'm not working. I'm going as a fan. It sucks. It's very sad. I've been crying about it for the past month. So if you're coming to WrestleCade, which is the biggest weekend of the year, I have been crying, by the way. If you want to come there, make sure to check out Lucha Bros. My friends are bringing them in. Melina, Brutus the Barber Beefcake. Sadly, our headliner had to cancel. That's been a whole thing that my phone's been blowing up about. But there's so many other talent. And there's a live wrestling show. And I believe Mike Bailey's wrestling Andrade in the main event. So check that out.
Nice.
That's really good.
Yeah, that card for that wrestling show, is that going to be streamed anywhere? Because holy shit.
I believe it's on Title Match Network.
Okay.
I've had to double check. But I'm pretty sure that's there. Then the last convention of the year, I'm tentatively working with Booker T, but that might change in about a week. But Icons Wrestling at the 2300 Arena, they just announced my new friend Roby Soho. Ray Phoenix just got announced. Haku, Bill's favorite. Yeah. Deonna Purrazzo, and about like 50 other names if you want to head over there.
Macklin.
Yeah, Steve Macklin. Yeah. Deonna's like a little bit more important. Sorry, don't tell her.
It's funny because as soon as they announced Purrazzo, I'm like, I wonder if they booked Macklin too, if it was like a bundle deal.
They did.
And then he was the next name announced. I was like, yes.
So there's that. Warriors of Wrestling is the 16th anniversary show. I don't know if Rob's making the trip to Staten Island. If he is, yay.
I'll be there.
If he's not. Oh, even better. We're doing live commentary, the 16th anniversary. So Joey B is wrestling. I'm very scared about this. I might get injured somehow because I'm a Muppet. So if you're in Staten Island, come to the 16th anniversary show because Enzo's going to be there. Sonny Kiss is going to be there. There's a lock and key ladder match and a bunch of other shit going on. And if you must follow me on Twitter, because you never know when I'm dropping another inside scoop, you can follow me at Kimmy_Sokol. And Rob, thank you so much for having me. You're so nice.
Yeah.
That's so right. Rob.
Yeah.
Take us home. What do you got to promote, buddy?
Hey, you know what? I'm just going to say this. Lots going on. Check out the new site, BCP Plus. Guys, go over to thepopbreak.com. Hit that little star favorite. Lots of good stuff over there. If you guys don't mind, if you like the podcast, like listening to these panels, I'll go over to Apple. Was it Apple Podcasts now? Is that what they call it? It's not iTunes anymore. I know that. I'm old. But leave us a 5-star rating. Really helps us out. And guys, like we always say here on the BCP, everyone stay safe, stay positive, take care of each other. We out. Before we get started, I want to shout out our sponsors here on the BCP. As always, the BCP is brought to you by our favorite store, Funkenstein Wrestling Superstore, located online and at the Englishtown Flea Market in Englishtown, New Jersey, on Saturdays and Sundays from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. in the Blue Building. Get your wrestling stuff, retro video games, G.I. Joes, Ninja Turtles, Ghostbusters. It's our favorite store. Thank you, Heather and Dan, for sponsoring the show. Please welcome in our new sponsor, Mania Club. Established in 2015, Mania Club is a WWE-recognized community for fans with an eclectic love for both the world of professional wrestling and raising money for Connor's cure. During WrestleMania weekend, we host the official tailgate of WrestleMania while also celebrating the life of Connor McCulloch. They're the single largest donor within the V Foundation for Connor's Cure with over $150,000 raised. Please donate and join the Facebook group over at Mania Club. Donate at jimmyv.org/maniaclub. The BCP is also sponsored by the No Gimmicks Podcast, the pro wrestling podcast that keeps it 100% real, 100% of the time. The No Gimmicks Podcast is available wherever you get your podcast. Shout out, Kelvin. Check out the No Gimmicks Podcast. Wrestling All Day, All Night is the best wrestling discussion group on Facebook. We provide more of a community feel here and have wrestling fans introduce other fans to something they may have not seen before, such as old school wrestling, indie wrestling, Japanese wrestling, and more. We also strive to be a source for information regarding upcoming wrestler meet and greets and signings. And remember, we're open 24/7. All day, all night. Be sure to follow on socials and join the group on Facebook at Wrestling All Day, All Night. The BCP is also sponsored by Warriors of Wrestling. Warriors of Wrestling proudly presents Intergender Warfare. It's going to be at St. Finbar Catholic Church, 1839 Bath Ave in Brooklyn, New York, Friday, November 10th, featuring Miranda Eleze, Taya Valkyrie, Zaya Brookside, Giselle Shaw, Darius Carter, Vicious Vicky, and a whole lot more. Get your tickets now at warriorsofwrestling.com, and don't forget to subscribe on YouTube. Please welcome in our new sponsors, the Sweet Chin Musings Podcast. Sweet Chin Musings is the creation of the reigning, rarely defending, highly disputed champion of wrestling podcast, Mr. Perfect Mike Mueller, and his tag team partner in crime, Luke Kudialis. SCM focuses on the in-ring products of WWE and AEW. No dirt sheet rumors here, as well as backstage news, predictions, and analysis of characters, storylines, and major pay-per-views. Old school fans, don't worry, we have you covered too, with a look back on classic matches, top 10 lists, and interactive tournaments that let the fans decide who is truly the best of all time. You can find us on Facebook at Sweet Chin Musings, and be sure to check out the podcast on all your favorite podcast major streaming platforms. We also got to shout out our new sponsors, the United States Department of Nerds, the USDN Podcast, a podcast presented by Dat Feeling Podcast Network, LLC. The USDN Podcast is run by Jeffrey T. Fountain, a BCP Plus contributor, Jennifer Johnson, Eric Johnson, and Tay Stith, and is also home to the Queens of Nerdom Podcast. USDN Podcast is a safe place for all nerds where they can come to be entertained, learn, and embrace debate. USDN prides itself on being by the people, for the people, and of the people. Here at the USDN, we strive to bring you the best content we can find where you know it comes with the USDN seal of approval. We always strive to give you factual data, and if it's a rumor, we'll always preface it with the rumor alert before dropping the freshest info. However, once those rumors are proven true, you can bet your money we at USDN are slamming the stamp down and giving it the USDN seal of approval. Hit our links on social media for all our merch. This ad is USDN approved. The BCP is now sponsored by the international shiny star, Ray Kalitri. Kalitri has honed his craft traveling and wrestling all over the world, including destinations such as Mexico, Peru, Puerto Rico, and even Egypt. The ISPW Tri-State Champion and Golden Ticket Holder is also one of the longest reigning ECPW Light Heavyweight Champions in history. Kalitri also holds an international championship that he won in Mexico. Always known for his appreciation of world culture, the Shiny Star is also known for his taste for high fashion, lavish lifestyle, and fast cars. However, he is most prominently known around the globe for his unparalleled in-ring acumen and skill set. Be sure to follow Ray Kalitri across the board on social media, at Kalitri Ray on Twitter, at PAP1Fresh on Instagram, and Ray Kalitri on Facebook. Guys, please welcome in our new pod sponsor for the show, GPW Productions. GPW provides your promotion or event with top-tier video and audio production, live streaming, and more. I can personally vouch for them in saying they're hands down the best production company I've ever worked with, as they continue to work with the likes of AEW, GCW, StarCast, MLW, not to mention the majority of the local independent promotions here in the tri-state area. They can even help you film a vignette or promo for your persona or gimmick. And guess what? GPW doesn't just work in wrestling. They cover MMA, boxing, basketball, or any other sporting event as well. Guys, on a personal note, as always, I'd like to thank Mike Sesko, Frank Leone, O'Neill Andrews, and the team for giving me multiple opportunities to work with them and some of the best talent in the world. Book GPW for a promotion or event today at contact@gpwproductions.com. Thank you to our new November sponsor on the pod and the site, BCP Plus, the Rock and Wrestling Collector, located in Stockholm, New Jersey, featuring all of your favorite rock and wrestling collectibles. This is owned by ISPW head honcho, Mr. Tommy Fierro. The Rock and Wrestling Collector makes its grand opening on Black Friday. Don't miss it, and be sure to follow at the WC Store and at 80s Wrestling on socials. Let's rock. Please welcome in our new pod sponsor for the month of November, Pro Wrestling Magic. PWM presents Holiday Road to Kingdom Come at the Mecca in Ridgefield Park, New Jersey, and streaming on IWTV on November 25th, featuring Cheeseburger, Darius Carter, Adina Steele, Ruthless Lala, Steve Pena, Kerr, Vinny Pacifico, Death Row, Hispanos Unidos, and a whole lot more. Get your tickets now. Guys, please welcome in our new sponsor for the month of November. Savage Kingdom presents an epic Swerve Strickland signing on December 29th in Flushing, New York. Come meet and greet one of AEW's top stars, podcast hosts, and musicians over at the Wrestling Universe. Pre-purchase link in comments for the tickets. And on a personal note, thank you, Greek Savage, for the support and always helping with our charitable endeavors. Guys, please welcome in our new sponsors for the podcast and the site, Crusaders Collectibles, wrestling games, live signings, and more, and Wrestling Collectors Federation on Facebook. Crusaders Collectibles is your destination for some of the best signings, live sales, games, and more. They are mostly wrestling, but you may see some other items at times. We are a family here and want everyone to be treated like family. You'll be able to find custom edits, photos, figures, cards, belts, pops, and more here. Many of those will even be autographed. Wrestling Collectors Federation on Facebook features amazing auctions, sales, pick events, and even mystery drawings for some truly unique items for any serious wrestling collector. Be sure to join the group and get in on the fun. On a personal note, I'd like to thank Emil for all his support of the BCP and our charitable endeavors. Guys, please welcome in our new sponsors for the month of September, Bubba, Kim, and Gabby, BKG. This family consistently shows their love and support for wrestlers on both the independent and national level, reminding us what this is really all about. Bubba's been a strong supporter of the BCP, primarily in our charity work, donating multiple items, time, and effort. Thank you, BKG.